Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house, the house He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
This really has nothing to do with my sermon, but I was thinking as Connie and I were driving to church this morning that I have off from my job as clerk Thursday and Friday. It's not a religious holiday. It's not a Christian holiday, not a Jewish holiday. It's merely a federal holiday that gives us 2 days off, and yet we cannot get off Good Friday to Monday. Remember when we used to get those off? I do. And I thought how sad that we have come to that point. In our worship and praise of the Lord, that we can get off 2 days and mostly use it for shopping, but we can't get off 2 days to observe the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. Well, let me ask you this. Getting into our sermon, how many of you anticipate that your children and or grandchildren will come to your house on Thanksgiving Day, Thursday? Very few hands. I expected that. I don't know what I'd done if all of you would have raised your hand, but I anticipated that because Connie and I have experienced that, that as your children grow older and as their children get older, they don't want to come to Mom and Dad's house for Thanksgiving. Well, let me tell you a story. The day before Thanksgiving, an elderly man in Phoenix called his son Jack in New York City, and he said, "Son, I hate to tell you this. I hate to ruin your day, but your mom and I are divorcing. 45 years is enough. We're sick of each other. We're getting a divorce, so call your sister in Chicago and tell her." Well, Jack is frantic. He calls his sister in Chicago, and she just loses it. And she starts shouting, "They are not divorcing. I will take care of this. I'm going to call Mom and Dad." So she calls her dad, and she says, "You are not divorcing. Don't do anything. I'm calling Jack. We will be there in the morning. Don't do anything. Do you hear me?" And so she hangs up the phone, and the father turns to his wife and says, "Honey, the kids will be here for Thanksgiving, and they're paying for their own airline fare." So you might remember that the next time that they don't want to come for Thanksgiving. Well, on Thursday, many of us will gather out at our home or a children's home or somewhere with family. And hopefully, we will remember more than to eat a meal and watch a football game or eat a meal and dash out to the mall. The Thanksgiving holiday offers us the perfect opportunity as Christians, even though it's not a religious holiday, it offers us the perfect opportunity to transfer our lives from griping and complaining and dissatisfaction to lives of joy and gratitude. It's the perfect holiday for us to change and become grateful people. And God desires nothing more than we be grateful, that we be people of gratitude. You know, someone said a thankful spirit is the hallmark of a Christian. It's what makes us different. It's what sets us apart from the rest of the world. And I want us to look at one verse this morning, one short verse in Psalm 118. In fact, it's the first verse of that psalm written by King David. And I want us to look at that one verse, and if you like, follow along in your Bible as I read. Psalm 118, verse 1. "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Well, why is being thankful so important to each of us? Well, I think it is because gratefulness is good for us. There are so many benefits that we can derive from being grateful people. Being a grateful person can increase our personal happiness. You know, most of us think happiness is determined by our circumstances. Oh, if I just didn't have aches and pains. Oh, if I could win the lottery and had millions of dollars. Oh, if I just could get the furnace fixed, if the roof didn't leak. We look at our circumstances and gauge our happiness by them. I'm sure if I ask most of you this morning on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you? Some of you may say, well, on the happiness meter, maybe a 2 because of my circumstances. We have been taught, we have been trained that our happiness is somehow dependent on how life is treating us. But really, happiness is determined by our attitude, how we view the circumstances that affect our life. And in Philippians 4:4, the Apostle Paul wrote these words from prison. From prison, mind you. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Paul was happy despite being incarcerated in a Roman prison. He learned to thank God for everything in his life. It was his perspective on life. And we need to adopt and develop such a perspective. Happiness does not need to be determined and should not be determined by our circumstances, but our perspective on life. And if we learn to be grateful, if we learn to be thankful despite those circumstances, our happiness will greatly, greatly improve. And being a grateful person can also make us better witnesses for Jesus. You know, the sad fact is that many Christians are the most negative, sour, mean-spirited people in the world. You would think we were baptized in vinegar instead of the water of the Holy Spirit. No wonder people shy away from us. No wonder they don't want to be around from us. However, if we're happy and joyful and glad and thankful, we attract the lost. They see something we have that they don't, and they want to know the source of that happiness. Being grateful, a grateful person will enhance our relationship. There's one fact that I'm sure many of us have noticed about some married couples. After a while, many of them become ungrateful and unappreciative of their spouses. And over time, they take each other for granted. Someone described the first years of marriage as follows. In the first year, the husband says to the wife, "You don't look well. You should go to the hospital." In fact, they called and told them we're on the way. "And I know the food is bad, but I've engaged a caterer to come in and provide the meals for you while you're there." The second year, he looks at his wife and he says, "You don't look well. I've called the doctor. Go lie down. I'll take care of the kids. The doctor will be here soon." The third year, he says, "You know, you're not looking too hot. After you finish the dishes and put the kids to bed, maybe you should lie down." And then the fourth year, he says, "Would you quit walking around barking like a seal? You're going to give me your coal, and I don't want it." Too familiar, maybe. Once we get so familiar with each other, we tend to be less thankful for each other. Husbands, How do you think your home life would change if occasionally you carried flowers home and thanked your wife for all she did? And wives, maybe your home life would change if occasionally you thanked your husband for all he did for you and the family. And kids, maybe your home life would be better if occasionally you thank mom and dad for the money they spent on you and all the things that they did for you. And imagine how much better our church relationships would be if we express thanks for each other from time to time. Instead of pointing out each other's faults, what if we stopped and expressed gratitude for each other? Do you recall the manner in which Paul addressed churches to whom he wrote? To the church in Rome, he wrote, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. To the church in Corinth, I always thank God for you. To the church in Ephesus, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. To the church at Philippi, I thank my God every time I remember you. To the church in Colossae, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you." He was thankful for things that we probably don't ever even consider. And being grateful will solidify your relationship with God. And that's the best benefit of all of being a grateful person. Inside of each of us is a need to give thanks to God. And when we spend time giving thanks to Him, we feel closer to Him. We are drawn to Him. And God designed it this way. He programmed us and created us to need Him and to thank Him for all He does. So what are some of the ways this Thanksgiving that we can begin to develop being grateful and thankful people that'll carry on through the rest of our lives? Well, first, if we want to be thankful, we need to remember that everything we possess is from God. God has loaned everything to us that we have. We didn't get anything on our own. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes to the church there, "What do you have that you did not receive from God? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not receive it from God?" Secondly, if we wish to be thankful, we must avoid complaining. If we wish to be thankful, we must avoid complaining. Dr. Dale Robbins, who was a founder of Victorious Christian Ministries, writes, "I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. But I have come to realize that they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations better. It amplifies frustration, spreads discontent and discord, and can evoke an invitation for the devil to wreak havoc in our lives." Complaining makes us miserable. We all do it. I do it and you do it. And think about it. It doesn't make us feel any better. And it usually irritates those around me. Connie, or your wife, or your husband, your children, your co-workers. Complaining is the enemy of Thanksgiving. And the two cannot coexist in the same heart. So let's attempt to quit complaining for a month. Let's make us a pact that we will quit complaining for a month. And when we feel tempted to complain, instead of filing a complaint, we file a praise. We thank the Lord for something that He has done for us. And I honestly believe that it will change our lives for the better. Again, when Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Third, if we wish to be thankful, we must develop the daily discipline of giving thanks. It's just like praying. It's just like many jobs I have at my work. They are either semi-annual or annual tasks I have to do. And every time they come up, I have to retrain myself to do them because I don't do them but once or twice a year. And if we only wait to Thanksgiving to give thanks, we're not going to develop that daily habit of being thankful. We're not going to be perceived as thankful people. In order to be thankful people, we need to give thanks every day. We need to discipline ourselves to find something each day for which to be thankful and then express that thanks to God. Maybe we should create a journal or a computer file, call it the Thanksgiving file, and list in there each day things for which to be thankful to the Lord. Developing this habit will give us a daily training to be thankful. Following are a few questions that we can ask ourselves to test whether we are a grateful people. One, do we talk more about our blessings or our disappointments? Two, are we complainers, always grumbling, always finding fault with our circumstances? Three, are we content with what we have or always dissatisfied and wanting more? Four, do we find it easier to count our blessings or easier to count our afflictions? Five, do we express thanks to others when they help us, or do we feel it's due to us that we deserve the help that we receive? And six, would others say we are a thankful person? Think about those questions as we approach this day we call Thanksgiving, this holiday that was mandated by the federal government years and years ago. In fact, it began back in Plymouth at the settlement when the pioneers who came over, half of them, of the 102, died that first winter. And if it were not for two English-speaking Native Americans who taught them how to grow the crops of corn and the other crops of food, they would not survive. And they began that second winter with a three-day feast, giving thanks to the Lord for all He had provided. So as we approach Thanksgiving Day, can Thanksgiving change our life? I think so. I think if we become a thankful person, if we become a person of gratitude, it'll change our life for the better. We'll affect positively those around us, believers and non-believers. They will see that we have something that they really would like to have, something that gives us joy. Not that we never have problems, not that we never have health issues, not that bad things don't happen in terms of how the world views our lives, but that we have a source of help that's beyond any help that a person could give us, and that's the Lord. He's there with us. His Holy Spirit is there. We can talk to Him, and we can look around and be thankful for what we have. I'll close real quickly by saying Connie and I, the other night, we sat down and flipped through television. I believe it was a History Channel, and there was a program on small children. And there was a little girl on there who was a primordial dwarf. There are only 200 in the United States. She was 13 years old, was 2 feet 9 inches tall, and weighed 17 pounds. And she went to school, but she couldn't go until the classes had, the bell had rung, and she had to wait 5 minutes because she would get trampled. And she had an aide, an adult aide, that had to go with her. And she and her best friend, who was a normal-sized girl, went to the mall, and of course the cameras were filming them as they were sitting in the food court, and all the people that were pointing at her and talking about her, and she became so irritated. And I turned to Connie and I said, we don't have any problems, a few aches and pains, but no problems. Here was this child who had to endure what she endures, and her mom and dad who had to deal with that too. So be thankful Thursday, not just Wednesday, but Sunday through Sunday through Sunday. Thank the Lord, because there's plenty to be thankful for regardless of our circumstances. And if you would like to thank the Lord by giving your life to Him, accepting the gift that He has for you, now is a perfect time to do that, to come forward and say, thank you, Lord, for my life. Although it's not trouble-free, but I want to accept the gift that you are offering to me, the gift of your Son, Jesus, as my Savior. And we will pray with you, and praise the Lord, and talk with you about becoming a member of this congregation, if that's what you desire.